Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the live stream. It's great to have you with us this morning. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a part of this. If you are interested in getting connected, if there's any needs you have, prayer requests, just encourage you to hit the website and join in that way. If you're interested in just kind of joining along with us, there's opportunity to interact through the live stream, through comments. It's great to have you here. Look forward to worshiping with you. God bless.
Maybe it's just me. Is there an announcement video? Do we got an announcement video today?
Hey, there we go. Well, welcome to your announcements. We've got a couple of things for you this week. What's the first one?
First one is we have a Connect group that is starting this coming Tuesday, May 31st, 7 o'clock p.m. at our Wilkinson Road campus. So if you are new to SBC, maybe you started attending during COVID and you're like, hey, I want to get to know some people, get connected in the church, we invite you to come out. It's 4 weeks, first one this coming Tuesday.
Awesome. And do they have to come to all 4 weeks?
Well, if you want to get connected, we encourage that. But no, come check it out. You can register for it on our website.
Awesome. We'd love to see you there. What's the second thing?
Second one is next Sunday, we are having a baptism service.
Yeah.
So it is not too late. If you are just sensing that this is the next step that you need to take in your own faith journey, we encourage you to contact the church office. We would love to talk to you about getting baptized.
Awesome. You know the drill. If you've got any questions or you want to know what's going on, hit up our website for all the deets or email us at office@sandwichbaptist.org. Have a good week, guys.
Nailed it.
Crushed it.
Woo! We're awesome. I think you did a great job.
I think you did a great job.
Thanks.
Both did a great job. Okay.
We were high-fiving because we did a good job, and we only had to do that in one take. And let's face it, usually it's a lot more takes than just one. Well, welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us this morning for worship. We're glad that we can be together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich people to worship our God. So I'm going to invite you to stand if you're able, and I'm going to start us off by reading this call to worship. And it goes like this. Are you awake? Are you alert? Christ is coming into our lives in a new way. Are you watching for him? See and hear what the Lord is doing today. Christ is coming into our lives in a new way. Come, let us worship and let us work in the reign of God. Oh God, awaken us to the knowledge of your love. Awaken us to the power of your Spirit. Awaken us to the reality of your presence with us. So let's sing all about that by singing "Your Love Awakens Me." You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. And you great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? Would our good Father such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from praise you because you are our living hope. That you lived and you breathed, yes, You also died, but you didn't stay dead. But God, today we also worship you because you didn't stay here on earth as a human as well, but you ascended high into the heavens to the right hand of the throne of God, which is the place that you deserve. And instead, you gave us the gift of your Spirit to be with us in all times, in every place. As we need you, we can come to you and be in your presence and to know you. And so, God, we praise you and we worship you for that, because that is our true hope, that whatever comes our way, whatever things we encounter, we know that we're not alone, that you didn't leave, you didn't forsake. You send us the gift of your Spirit. And so we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Well, you guys can have a seat. And kids, you betcha, it is time for you to head to the back and find Shyla. She would love to take you upstairs to your kids' program, and we'll get you sorted there. Lindsay, over to you.
Our reading this morning is found in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. If you've got a Bible or smartphone or something with the scripture on it, I'd love for you to follow around. And this is Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, and he's referencing a former book, he says, which was the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. But this is Acts, and we follow verses 1 through 11 of chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Steve.
A great scripture for next Sunday. It's setting up next Sunday, which next Sunday, as we follow the church calendar this year, is Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday. And one of the ways we're going to do that next Sunday is with baptisms. If you're interested in getting baptized, whether you're here in person or you're watching online, just either talk to Lindsay after the service if you're here in person, or if you're online, feel free to send us an email at office@sanitbaptist.org, and we'd be happy to get in contact with you. And what a great Sunday to be baptized, Pentecost Sunday. So that's next Sunday. I want to encourage you to get baptized if you haven't been baptized, and let's celebrate. Couple other things for us, and then I'm going to pray, and we'll jump into what I have for us this morning. First is, we sent out a survey this week, real simple. I think it was like 6 questions in a comment box. If you got the survey, but you haven't filled it in yet, can you just take, like, it'll take you 5 minutes. Can you just do that this afternoon for us so we can get back as many surveys and as many comments as possible? Be really helpful. If you didn't get the survey and you want the survey, please send us an email at office@sanitbaptist.org, and tomorrow one of our admin team will send you that survey. And so really trying to just figure out, as we move into a post-COVID world, where we're at, and this survey will really help us do that. Also, want to ask you to continue to pray about our financial situation. Obviously, if you've been here, you know it's very concerning. Thank you to those who are considering giving above and beyond. We really, really appreciate it during this time. But just want to encourage us as a church to continue to pray for an outpouring of God's resources. We'll give you an update next Sunday on where we're at on that. One more announcement, and that is Eileen, who has been a big part of our admin team for many years. The last few, she's been our administrator here at the church. She's decided to step down from her role as of June the 23rd. She really feels like during this season of her life, she needs to dedicate more time to her family, and so she's stepping down to do that. So I'd ask you to be in prayer for Eileen as she wraps up her role and enters into a new season, and also be in prayer for our church as we seek a new administrator. And if you know anybody would be interested in that, you can talk to Lindsay after the service. Let's pray for a few minutes. Father, thank you that you have sent your Spirit into this world to live in us and to guide us and to direct us, to give us comfort and love, to help us live the life that you want us to live. And we're thankful for that. And Father, in these days, I pray that your comfort, your Spirit's comfort would be poured out around this world. I think of Ukraine and the continuing war there and the refugee disaster. I think of the people stuck in different cities that have been ravaged by war. Some way, somehow, may your Spirit be poured out in that area of the world. May you bring comfort to those who are mourning and grieving there. May you bring peace. You are the Prince of Peace. May you bring peace to that area of the world that so desperately needs it. We pray for the families and others affected in Texas from the shooting this past week. God, all of our hearts are broken as we watch that tragedy. God, we just pray for your Spirit to be poured out. May those who mourn in that situation find their comfort in you. May the church in that area of the world rise up and be your arms and your legs as people need to know that you love them and care for them as they go through a very, very dark valley. God, too, I pray for our church family. Father, there are some here that just need a healing touch from you. Some need your comfort. I think of Joe Menez and his family and others who are grieving who need a comfort from you. Father, this world needs to know you. They need to know your comfort and your peace. And Father, you have called us to be people who will go out and share your comfort and your peace with others. And so this morning, as we just look at really what the purpose of the church is all about, I pray you would speak to us this morning and just remind us and just challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been doing a series called Do It Again, and we've been looking at the whole idea of revival. And boy, you know, as you look out and watch the news, does the world ever need a great move of God? And I believe as we move into this new season of living in a post-COVID world, that God wants to do that, that God does want to pour out his Spirit upon this world. And recently, I was sitting out, it was early-ish in the morning, and I was sitting out on my patio with my winter coat on and my patio heater on with a cup of coffee. And I was reflecting just on the church in North America and on what a post-COVID world. Yeah. That basically sums up how I feel right now, yeah. But I was reflecting on the church in North America, on what a post-COVID world is going to be like. And people's attitudes moving into that post-COVID world. It's a fascinating thing to think about and read about. And all that reflecting led me to this question as I sat on my patio. As we move into this new season of life, what's the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church as we move into this new world, whatever this new world is? And I was thinking about that because I think it's an important question to reflect on. And as I was thinking, I thought, well, for some pastors and church leaders, The purpose of the church is the church itself. In other words, excuse me, the purpose of the church is to grow the church. Thus, the mission of the church becomes finding strategies to grow the church, to bring people in, to fill the church, to have a big church. And when that's your mission, it causes the church to be program-centric, building-centric, Sunday-centric. And when the purpose of the church is the church itself, you really, if you think about it, get caught up in a competition to see who can get the most people. And it all becomes about who can put on the best show with the best programs to attract the most people. And it's like you're competing for market share in the religious consumer category. Another answer for what's the purpose of the church, why does the church exist, is one that people who go to church often give the church. And it's this: the church exists to meet my needs. The church's mission is to serve me. In other words, the church must have the programs and services I want to meet my needs. And when people put themselves and their needs at the center, the church becomes just another product to consume. You come to church to consume religious goods and services. The church becomes another transactional. It becomes very transactional. I give you money, you provide what I need. It's transactional. You're consuming religious goods and services. And listen, both those views, the ones that sometimes pastors and leaders have and the ones that people that go to church have, both those views are way too small a story and way too wrong a story for the Church of Jesus Christ. So today, let's step back and ask, why does the church exist? And let's get real personal. Why does SBC exist? Well, we say, what's God's purposes for our existence? We say this: SBC exists to partner with God on his redemptive, restorative mission of transforming lives and changing cities. Since the whole world is fallen, the whole world needs to be redeemed. Every last person and place and organization. Thus, the church is called by God to be on a restorative, redemptive mission with him. It all goes back to Jesus. We sometimes forget that because we sometimes think it all goes back to us. It all goes back to Jesus. He's the center. He's the Savior. He's the Lord and King. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who came redeeming humanity and seeking to restore all things. He's the one who came heralding a whole new way of living. Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus came proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God was breaking in, that God's presence, rule, and reign were at hand, and that life in God's presence and power was now available to ordinary people. Jesus came proclaiming a gospel that was good news to the poor and redemption for the sinner and healing to the brokenhearted and liberty to the captive and sight to the blind and freedom to the oppressed. Jesus proclaimed the gospel that heals bodies and souls, casts out demons, restores lives, redeems people, transforms neighborhoods and communities, and turns the world upside down. A gospel that will one day bring redemption and restoration to all of creation. And that's why our purpose here at Sanage is to partner with God on his redemptive, restorative mission of transforming lives and changing cities. Because of Christ's life and death and resurrection and ascension, we have the privilege of entering into his kingdom and living under his kingship. The cross is a doorway into his kingdom. And every person needs to come to the cross of Christ and bow down and surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And when a person does that, they enter into his kingdom and they enter in then to a whole new way of living. As kingdom people, we are called to live under Christ's kingship, under his rule and reign, which is loving and gracious. We are called to live a life that imitates our loving, gracious, sacrificing King. A life that joins Jesus on his redemptive, restorative mission. After all, Jesus, our risen King, said to us, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. You see, Jesus is sending us out on his mission, to bring good news to the poor and redemption to the sinner. And healing to the brokenhearted, and liberty to the captives, and sight to the blind, and freedom to the oppressed. And I believe with all my heart that SBC has been placed in this city in hopes that this city will become more like the kingdom of God. Now, how do we see that happen? Well, we join God on his redemptive, restorative mission. And how, next question, do we join God on his redemptive, restorative mission? That's where our mission comes in. And our mission, and if you've been here any time in our church, you probably heard me say this, is simple. It's to inspire and equip people to live 6-8 wherever they find themselves. That's it. Our mission as a church is to inspire and equip people to live 6-8 wherever they find themselves. If you're new here today or new in the last couple of weeks, let me remind you that live 6-8 comes from Micah 6-8, where it says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Let me give you some background to that verse, because it's quite interesting. Micah was a prophet back in the Old Testament. Prophets spoke for God. Micah prophesied sometime between 750 and 686 BC. His message was addressed primarily to the Jewish people living in the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah was enjoying a time of economic prosperity when Micah the prophet came on the scene. There had been 40 years of prosperity and comfort and peace. And during the time of prosperity, as so what often happens, the people had drifted away from God. The people had got caught up in the good life. And they began to ignore God and his ways. There were idols in their lives. Their religious rituals had become empty. And it showed in their society. The rich were getting richer while ignoring the poor. Does that sound familiar? That's why Micah's message, if you were to read the book, you would see this. Micah's message is one, on one hand, a message of judgment. Micah told the people God was angry at their justice and injustice and their idolatry and their hypocrisy and their rebellion and their empty rituals. And because of their actions, Micah said, judgment was coming their way. But I love this. I love this. On the other hand, Micah's message was a message of hope. And he said God would restore his people and bless them if they would turn back to him and walk in their ways. Isn't that awesome? It's never too late to turn back to God. Our God is a God of forgiveness and love and grace. And Micah says to the people, judgment's coming. But if you turn back, God will walk with you and bless you. And in Micah chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we see God confronting the people in their sin. And then in verse 3 and 4, God reminds the Israelites of his faithfulness towards them. He reminded them how he had redeemed them from slavery in Egypt, how he had given them spiritual leaders, how he had protected them. God was reminding the Israelites that he had kept his part of the covenant, even though they hadn't kept theirs. And then in verse 6 and 7, the people respond. They say, well, God, what do you require of us? Do you want us to bow down before you? Do you want us to offer burnt offerings of year-old calves? Do you want us to offer 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Is that what you require? Do you notice something? Those activities are all acts of worship in the temple. The people had missed the point. From God's perspective, acts of worship without an accompanying lifestyle are useless. We need to remember that. You see, we can come to church and we can sing the songs and we can hear the prayers and we can listen to the sermon and we can look really religious and pious, and then we can leave and go out and live a lifestyle that's anything but what we were singing about or praying about or hearing about. We too today in the 21st century can miss the point that acts of worship without an accompanying lifestyle are useless in the eyes of God. It is not what he wants. He doesn't want us just to come here on Sunday for a few minutes, sing a few songs, and then listen to a few prayers and listen to a sermon and then go live however we want. That is not what God requires of us. And in Micah 6:8, God answers the question of what he requires. He says this, he has shown you, O mortal, that's O human being, what is good. And what does God require of you? Here it is, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And here's the deal. God isn't giving the Israelites any new information there. That verse is a summary of biblical teaching from start to finish. In fact, Jesus had this verse in mind when he said in Matthew 23:23, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Back to Micah 6:8. What does God require of us? Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. First, walk humbly with our God. You know, that is relational language. At its core, at its very center, at its core, Christianity is about a relationship with a living God. That's what it's about. The God who put the stars in space, who created all things, wants to walk with us. God wants you to walk with him, and he wants to walk with you as you journey through life. That is a powerful and profound and mind-blowing truth. Isn't it incredible? The living God who created all things wants to journey with you through life. Wow. And you notice it isn't just walk, but walk humbly. And what's really interesting here is the Hebrew word, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The Old Testament Hebrew word for humbly is not the usual Hebrew word for humility. Here it means to be humble in the sense of not only not insisting on your own way, but also readily doing what God requires. What does God want? What does God require? Walk humbly, act justly, love mercy. Does your life reflect God's priorities? Are you walking humbly with God? Next week, I want to talk about walking humbly with God in light of how do we do that? How do we create a rhythm in our life where we can walk humbly with God? And I want to talk about the ebb and flow rhythm of life and how that applies to walking humbly with God next week. But here's the deal. When we walk humbly with God, we will find ourselves empowered to love mercy and act justly. You're never going to love mercy and act justly the way God wants you to do if you're not walking, first of all, humbly with him. Walk humbly, then love mercy. And when we talk about loving mercy, we're talking about showing compassion and kindness to others, both in our words and our actions, both inside the church and outside the church. We're talking about practically meeting the needs of other people, giving a hungry person something to eat. And notice this. Again, just like there's walk and then there's humbly. You notice with mercy, it isn't just show mercy. It says here we're to love showing mercy. We're to make showing compassion and kindness to others something that we love doing. Let me ask you. Do you love showing mercy to others? Does it flow from your heart? If not, why not? Where's the blockage? You see, I think sometimes we want to show mercy. We want to love showing mercy, but there's a blockage. Something's stopping us from showing love and mercy the way God wants us to. I think there's probably three big reasons. Number one is we're not walking humbly with Jesus. Talk more about that next week. Here's two others I think are big blockages today. One is busyness. I think we can get so busy and so wrapped up in our own lives and so focused on what it's all about us and what we got to do that we get so busy that we don't notice the needs of others. It's not that we maybe don't want to show loving kindness to others. It's just we're too busy to notice. We're just too focused. And in a few weeks, we're going to start a sermon series called Crazy Busy. And the whole point of the sermon series is, how can we slow down and live life at the pace God wants us to live life at? I think there's a second big blockage, and it's called consumerism. We're so into getting, we forget about giving. And I think we need to remember that we have been blessed, not so we can consume more and more, but so that we can show greater and greater amounts of compassion. As Christ followers, we're to love showing mercy. How are you doing with this? How are you doing it? Loving showing mercy. I think a great way to let God speak into your heart is that 30-30 challenge we're doing. Do you remember the 30-30 challenge? Right? 30 days, every 30 minutes you stop, your phone beeps or your watch beeps or something beeps or you see something. And when you stop every 30 minutes, it's to do three things really quickly. Number one, remember God is present with you. Number two, remember that you're going to go through the rest of your day saying, Father, what do you want me to do or say in this minute? And number three, you're going to then commit to saying whatever the Spirit wants you to do or say, you're going to go do it. And I think when we open our hearts up like that to God, God's going to use that to help us show mercy to others. The other night, my wife and I were in a restaurant together. And we're having dinner and just talking. And I noticed out of the corner of my eye, a gentleman sitting over in the restaurant by himself having dinner. And I just looked over him. And the Spirit of God said to me, I want you to buy him dinner. And I just kept talking to my wife. Do what I usually do, wait for the Spirit to tell me again. You know, I'm just a little thick. And I looked over again and the Spirit of God said to me, I want you to buy him dinner. And so I bought him dinner. I just, when our bill came, I said, I want to pay for that gentleman. The waitress thought it was really cool. I said, don't tell him who did it. And I just bought him dinner and we left. I have no idea what the outcome of that story is. But I sensed probably the Spirit of God knew that gentleman needed some kind of encouragement. And maybe us buying him dinner was the encouragement he needed. My point is when we open ourselves up and you say, Father, what do you want us to do or say in this moment? The Spirit's going to use that attitude to prompt us to show mercy to other people. Thirdly, we need to act justly. Justice is a key expression of God's heart. The Bible is absolutely clear, you can't miss it, that God is passionate about how the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized are treated. In fact, there are over 500 verses of direct teaching on this subject in the New Testament alone. In the Old Testament, after idolatry, defending the poor is the second most prominent theme. God despises injustice and oppression. And so what's his game plan for doing something about it? Where his plan for dealing with injustice? Currently, that's his game plan. Us, his followers. We're God's plan for dealing with injustice in this world. Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow, Proverbs 31 says, speak up for the people who have no voice, for the rights of all the down and outers. Speak out for justice. Stand up for the poor and the destitute. God has chosen his people, you and me, to be his plan. He has given Christ followers and the church the work of justice in this world. He is calling us to be agents of justice, people who stand up for and speak up for the widows and the fatherless and the needy and the orphans and the poor and the hungry and the weak and the oppressed, ensuring they're treated in fair and just ways. And while we can't correct all the injustices in the world, we can do something. What is God calling you individually or as a family to do? Where is God calling you to take a stand against injustice? Where is God calling us as a church to take a stand against injustice? I think one area God is calling us to take a stand against injustice is in indigenous issues. Locally, through Victoria Dream Center, I think God is calling us to get involved in taking a stand against injustice when it comes to indigenous people. And we're going to, Christine and I will talk a little bit more about that in a couple of weeks. I think also globally, God's calling us to get involved in some indigenous issues. Recently on my trip to Vicente Guerrero, I heard this fact. It blew me away. You get ready? Ready to get blown away? 98% of 14 to 17-year-old girls on the hill, just in the center kind of Vicente Guerrero, Las Misiones and Triqui in that area there, if you've ever been there with us, end up pregnant. 98% of 14 to 17-year-old girls living on the hill end up pregnant. 50% of those pregnancies are from sexual abuse. In other words, they were raped. These pregnancies cause most girls to drop out of school because there's no in-school daycare. There are now moms with a child that can't go to school because there's no one to take care of the baby. And so you wonder, could offering in-school daycare in the Vicente Guerrero area be an opportunity for this church and Mission San Quintin to act justly? For us to stand up and say, no girl should not be able to go get an education just because they have a baby. Because once you're 14 to 17 and you have a baby and you can't go to school, you are locked in poverty for the rest of your life. But what if they could get an education? We're called to act justly. We're called to love mercy. We're called to walk humbly. So let's recap. Our purpose, the reason we exist as a church, is this: to partner with God on his redemptive, restorative mission of transforming lives and changing cities. How are we going to partner with God on his redemptive, restorative mission? Our mission, our church mission, tells us how. We're going to inspire and equip each other to live 6-8 wherever we find ourselves. And how are we going to effectively inspire and equip each other? How are we going to accomplish that mission, which will help us accomplish our purpose? That's where our vision comes in. And here's how I'm going to close my sermon today. I'm going to get you to read our church vision with me. And Lindsay's going to come and help me, and I'm going to ask you to stand as we do this. And after we finish reading this, just stay standing, and we're going to sing a closing song. Are you ready?
So, I'm ready.
You follow Lindsay, don't follow me, okay? That could be a great thing.
No, let's...
Anyway, let's read our church vision together and let's hopefully be somewhat inspired. We are a church who has a dream for our city, not just ourselves. A church who knows that the next great move of God is not going to be a movement in the church, but a movement of the church into the city.
We are a church who are praying expectant, bold, risky, kingdom-bringing prayers. A church whose heartbeat is to live 6-8.
We are a church who serves our city, causing people to speak differently about Jesus and his church.
We are a church whose buildings have become places for the community as well as a place in the community.
We are a church with dynamic, God-glorifying, life-transforming dream centers in Victoria and Vicente Guerrero.
We are a church who sees people as more important than programs. A church where lives are being healed and made whole. A church where people are being baptized and miracles are breaking out. A church that is setting people free from mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, economic, and sexual oppression. A church where religion is dead and Jesus is alive.
We are a church that joins together weekly to share stories of God working, get equipped from God's word, and be recharged through wholeheartedly worshiping Jesus.
We are a church who realize people are discipled best in the context of relationships. A church where people follow Jesus and then help others follow him by sharing, equipping, and modeling the 6-8 way as they journey through life together.
We are a church who exists as a network of microchurches scattered across Greater Victoria and beyond.
Little churches where people are experiencing the unstoppable power, miraculous love, and outrageous sacrifice of the early church. Places where people are sharing their possessions and their lives with each other.
Little churches that are reaching out to their neighbors, friends, and others with the radical love and grace of Jesus. Little churches that welcome with open arms the seeker, the skeptic, the person of any race or sexual preference.
We are a church who are equipping and releasing children and youth to go out now and be 6-8 world changers.
We are a church who sees themselves as people sent on a mission of redeeming and renewing all things through Jesus Christ.
We are a church so filled with the Holy Spirit that nothing can stop us or stand against us as we go out and courageously share the good news of Jesus in word and action. We are a church that resolves not to settle for anything less.
Let it be so. Kim's going to come with the teams. Just stay standing and lead us in a closing song.
Let's sing this song together. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. And let's not just sing that, acknowledging that God is all of those things, but acknowledging that as his people, as his church, we are called to partner with him in being light and hope and peace to the people around us. So let's sing this. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city. You're You're the king of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are.
Well, it's been great to have you with us this morning as we seek our God and that His kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks for joining us online today here in this room. If you are in need of prayer this morning, there will be people up front who would love to pray along with you. If you came prepared to give, there are offering plates on the way out. If you're curious what that might look like, how you can give, there's a giving station at the back of the room there. You can talk to the person there and they'll help you understand that as well. As Steve said, love to talk to you about baptism. You may have heard that word, and I don't know what that means. Love to talk to you. And maybe that's something we can do together next Sunday. Just want to leave you with this benediction as we head out. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. God bless you. Go with Him.
lifted.